like I said, we appreciate the opportunity to be here. Look with me, if you would, in Psalm 118. For those who may not know, my name is Gary Schalk, my wife Barbara. We've been married 50 plus years, and God gave us 6 children and a 15-year span, 13 grandchildren and 3 great-grandchildren. It's when you know you're old when you talk about great-grandchildren. Amen. And, of course, everybody knows Daniel, our son Daniel, and Jesse and their children. They'll be coming here to school. I appreciate my brother Burke so much for that, working that out. And but we are happy to be here. Hope we can be a blessing. Psalm 118. And read with me, if you would, from verse 22. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we do thank you again for the privilege to be back amongst friends here at Cazadale Baptist Temple. We do appreciate Brother Burke so much for giving this opportunity. We pray that you would bless now in the service. Our intent is to be a help and an encouragement. I pray if there is one by chance here unsettled, unsaved, we pray this would be the day that they come to trust you, that they know you in the full and free pardon of sin. We are rejoicing in your goodness to us. And as we're instructed here, we are to be a people, a thankful people. I pray for good liberty, that you'd make the preaching time easy, and we'll thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm looking there primarily at verse 24, where it does say, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." You know, that's been put to music, and folks sing it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. You're familiar. Amen. Okay. Now, I believe the primary application is actually to Calvary. Amen. But there's other applications that can be made. There's just the practical application that in reality the Lord makes every day. Amen. He makes every day. So just for that mere fact, you and I ought to rejoice and give thanks, because the Lord makes every day. Amen. I noticed you on your announcements on the screen that you're having a Thanksgiving service of some kind on the 29th. If I read that right, amen. Did I read that right? Feast of Charity, yeah. And July 29th is my birthday. Isn't that a good day? Humor helps. But all I'm getting at is that you and I, we kind of take every day for granted. We get up in the morning, we go through routines, we go to bed at night to get up in the morning, without taking note of the fact that God makes every day. Amen. So that you and I ought to rejoice in every day. But here, what I want to preach on is this thought, that even though we ought to be glad and rejoice in every day, I believe there's some special days that God has made that you and I ought to be glad and rejoice in. Amen. Some special days. Some great days, if you please, that you and I, as we look back upon them, ought to look upon them with rejoicing and thanksgiving in our hearts. I've got about 5 days here that I want to run through, try not to be long. And I really, by coming just today, I don't know, you know, there may have been a whole lot said already, but you and I, we can look back to July 4th. We just celebrated July 4th, Wednesday evening, July 4th. July 4th is a great day. When you ponder it, I believe that it's probably the greatest day for our nation. Amen. Not that there's not been many great days that we could look back to. We could look back to when Columbus made up his mind to set sail, believing the scriptures that are talking about the circle of the earth, amen, and set sail and discovered this part of the world. We could look at when they founded Plymouth Rock, come over on the Mayflower, and things that were done. There's so many things that we could try to bring out. We could talk about, since we've been a nation, great days, some great days. There's been some dark days, but there's been some great days. You think about V-Day, when they pronounced victory from World War II, and that was a great day. I'll throw this in for what it's worth. I believe November 8th of 2017 was a great day. Hey, man, it could have went the other way. Okay? Boy, that didn't go over very well. We'll leave that one alone and go on. But getting back to July 4th, I don't believe, now this is my opinion for what it's worth, I don't believe that July 4th was just an accidental day. Amen. I believe it was ordained of God. When we read the verse, "This is the day the Lord hath made," I don't believe those men come together just by accident on July 4th. I believe God ordained that day. Amen. God has blessed this great land, and not necessarily because of our military might, though we're thankful for it. Not necessarily for our free enterprise system, although we're thankful for that. Not necessarily because we're a republic. We go through a process of electing officials. We're thankful for that. Amen. But I believe that God ordained this nation, set up this nation, so that she could help reach the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We are declared to be a Christian nation. And at one time, and still yet even so true very much today, it is this nation that is sacrificed to get the gospel around the world. Amen. So I don't believe July 4th was just some accidental day just picked at random. That God established that day, and you and I need to look back at it as probably the greatest day of our nation, when we declared in our freedom from Great Britain, from England, from the King of England. Well, just looking at a couple of things, you know, when those men came together, there was 56 men that signed that Declaration of Independence. And every one of those signed that document at great peril to themselves. If you research, we won't go into that this morning, but if you researched it, you may have researched it some already, but you know that they lost their wealth, they lost their health, they lost their family, they lost their lives. They signed that in great jeopardy, at great peril to themselves, amen, signing that document. See, the idea is that freedom, it's wonderful, but it comes at a great cost, at a great price. I want to read you a little something here. Patrick Henry, he didn't sign that document, but he's one of our forefathers that we can rejoice for his stand, for his challenge, for his charge that he gave. But you're familiar with this too. I'm quoting. He says, "Gentlemen may cry peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war is actually begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? What is it that gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Patrick Henry. Well, that was the caliber of men that helped to organize and establish this great land. July 4th is a day that every red-blooded American ought to rejoice and give thanks and be glad for that day. Amen. Well, having said that, let's move on to this. And that is where I started. And that is that I believe the context of this verse is actually pointing to Calvary. As July 4th was the greatest day for our nation, Calvary is the greatest day for all of mankind. The day that Jesus marched up Golgotha's mountain, the day that he laid that cross down and stretched himself out, the day that they hung him between heaven and hell, that is the greatest day for all of mankind. You see, every one of us were without hope. We were without God. We were under condemnation. We were on our way to devil's hell. And God knew all these things. You know, when Adam sinned in the garden, it didn't catch God off guard. God didn't wring his hands and say, what are we going to do now? God knew it would happen before it ever happened. By the way, I hear so many folk, when you try to talk to them, they say, well, you know, we're trying to live good. We're trying to follow the commandments, keep the commandments. They'll say, we live by the golden rule. Well, the proof in this is this thing that Adam was only given one command. One command. He could eat of all the trees in the garden with the exception of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God told him, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Adam couldn't keep that one commandment. And neither can man keep commandments. Amen. We were under curse. We were under condemnation. The lost man is not waiting to be condemned. He is already condemned because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. I'm trying to depict the fact that the greatest day for the human race is the day Jesus sacrificed himself on the cross at Calvary. You do realize they didn't kill him. They could not kill him. There would be days that he would be standing in their midst, and the Jews would take up stones to stone him, and he would merely walk out of their midst. Nobody could lay a hand against our Lord until this set day that God hath made. You go back up in the context where it talks about the stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Calvary was the Lord's doing. Amen. God set that day. Everything about the coming of the Lord. He was born at God's set time. He was born of the woman at God's appointed time. It wasn't accidental. It wasn't coincidental. 4,000 years of man's history, But Jesus was born at God's time. He lived upon this earth. If all he was an example to mankind, you and I might as well throw it in, because we'll never live up to the example. He didn't come to just to be an example. He didn't come to establish a new religion. He didn't come to die a martyr's death. He came because this day was already set. He came because we owed a sin debt that we would never pay. And if we had to pay it, it would take all of eternity in the lake of fire, and we would never get the debt paid. But Jesus paid it all. Glory to God. He paid it in full. As he hung there on the cross, he was literally made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. As he cried out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" It was at that point in time when he was bearing our sins on the cross at Calvary. Well, even when you read on in that account, that when that centurion came to break his legs, the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, how that they delivered Jesus up to be to Pilate, and they hung him on the cross. It was a high day, a special Sabbath day, and because of that, they couldn't leave him on the cross. So they came to break the legs of the Savior, as they broke the legs of the two thieves. The intent was that as they hung on the cross, as our Lord hung on the cross, he would have to push up from his feet to get air into his lungs, and have to hang on his hands to be able to exhale that air out of his lungs. So they would break their legs so they couldn't breathe, and they would suffocate there on the cross. They came to break his legs, but Jesus had already dismissed his spirit. They didn't take his life. He dismissed his own spirit. Amen. I'm talking about, this is the day the Lord hath made. We should be glad and rejoice in it. What happened on this day? Well, the first obvious thing is that when you think about this day, the sentence of law was satisfied on this day. Law carries a penalty. The law says, do this and live. But if you don't, there's death. Law carries a penalty. You know, folks say, well, you know, I'm following the law. I'm trying to obey the commandments. Well, the law was never given to justify. Galatians, the brother was all in the scriptures, in Galatians and Ephesians and Colossians in the Sunday school hour and Romans. Galatians, Paul wrote that the law was given as our schoolmaster to teach us that we needed a Savior. Amen. The law carried a penalty, but the sentence of the law was satisfied so that God could be both just and at the same time the justifier of the ungodly. The second thing that happened on this day was the fact that the sacrifice of the Savior was realized. As I already said, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Amen. The ultimate sacrifice was made. The sin debt was paid in full. There's nothing more to be done, nothing to be added to it. Jesus, when he paid that debt, he paid it in full. And it's realized on this day, this set day, that God hath made. Not only the sentence of the law satisfied, the sacrifice of the Savior realized, but also the sovereign God was glorified. Amen. You and I are befuddled or baffled sometimes when we try to ponder the cross, because you and I look at it as such torture and pain, the worst form of capital punishment, and how Jesus endured all that. But we read where the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews tells us that Jesus counted it all joy, that he set his face like a flint toward Calvary. Why is that? Because in his sacrifice, there is hope for all of mankind to become a son of God. And every time a sinner's born again, the Father's glorified in what his Son accomplished on the cross at Calvary. This day is the day the Lord hath made. Notice too that on this day, this set day, the stratagems of Satan were vilified. The old devil has a game plan. He has a strategy. It's much like sports in this sense. That be it a high school team or a college team or even a professional team to some degree, the coach has a game plan. And he lays that out so that in the end he might be the victor. The team might win. Amen. The devil's laid out a game plan. He wants to deceive you in your sin. Deceive you to the need of the Savior. And then those of us who are saved, he works hard to keep us disheartened. That's his game plan. Because a disheartened Christian will not do what he ought to do. Amen. But see, at Calvary, the old devil thought he'd won a victory. You can read it when Paul's writings to the church at Corinth. I believe the devil and his imps celebrated. They rejoiced until that third day when up from the grave he arose. The Satan from that point on knows he is a defeated foe. Because of this day. Also ponder this with me. I like this part too. On this day, the sufferings of hell were nullified. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to lay your head down at night and know that if your eyes didn't open in the morning in this life, they'd open on the other side in glory with him? You know, man has natural fears. And one of man's natural fears is the unknown, what's on the other side. The natural man fears death. Amen. Every man, you've seen him, and I'm not trying to be out of line by no fashion. But if they've got a terminal disease and their life's breath is leaving them, they're hanging on for every breath they can get, trying to hold on to as much of this life as they can get. But before they had all the different medicines and the morphines and all these kind of things, lost people on their deathbed, you can read accounts where they could already feel the flames. The fires were already engulfing them. See, but for you and I that are redeemed, you and I that are saved, hell has no hold on us. Amen. The sufferings of hell have been nullified. Well, on this day also, the standing of the saints is magnified. Boy, we ought to rejoice. We've been justified. We've been forgiven. And the good thing is, it's forever. Amen. You know, man has a problem with forgiveness, being able to forgive. You've heard the illustration, I'm sure, about folks burying the hatchet. I can guarantee you this, they'll bury the head, but they'll leave that handle where they know where it is. Amen. They know where they buried it. They left the handle sticking out. What are you getting at? You and I have a hard problem with forgiveness, being able to forgive. But who is a God like unto thee, Micah writes, who pardoneth iniquity? It was mentioned about the depths of the sea. You read on there in Micah 7 that the Lord's buried our sins in the depths of the sea. It was in the Sunday school hour, excuse me. The brother was talking about as far as the east is from the west. But I'm telling you that you and I, we have been justified. We've been forgiven. And the good thing is, it's forever. And it's all because of this day that the Lord hath made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Well, there's a third day we ought to ponder. And I was running a little bit ahead of myself on this. The greatest day for all of mankind was when Jesus paid our sin debt. But now, the greatest day for the individual, I bring it down to this, the greatest day for me was when I realized Jesus paid my sin debt. The greatest day in my life is when Jesus passed by my way. Now, I've had some what I would think were great days. If you'll pardon a little personal application, I was 16 years old Barbara walked by my way. And when she passed by me, I turned to the person next to me and I said, "Who was that?" And she told me, "That's my friend Barb. Would you like to meet her?" And I said, "Oh, yes." Amen. That was a great day for me when Barbara passed by. I was 16. I was barely 19 when I was waiting up front in the church house, and she come down the aisle, and that preacher pronounced us man and wife. Hey, when she said, "I do, I will," hey, that was a great day in my life. Amen. Then, as I said, God gave us 6 children. Those were great days. Every time one of them was born is a great day. But the greatest day in my life is when Jesus passed by. Jesus passed by my way, and he made me whole that day. Just a sinner was I, but then Jesus passed by. And oh, what a change in my life since Jesus passed by. That's a great day. Amen. The greatest day in my life. When I ponder that, I wasn't a dope head. I wasn't a drunkard. I wasn't a carouser. In fact, I thought I was a pretty good person. What little bit of religion I had, they taught us if our good outweighed our bad, then maybe we'd enter in. So I was working on trying to be good. But then I went and heard that old man of God preach. He opened that Bible Didn't even use the pulpit. He carried it, held it in his hand. A short man, almost as big around as he was tall, stubby fingers. And boy, if you think I move around, that old man, Barbara and I sat over on this side. It was just a little country church, about almost to the back. We'd have sat on the back, but all the members were there. Humor helps. And but he'd make a point. He'd run down that aisle with his Bible and point that stubby finger. Boy, he preached us into hell. We sweated through that first part of that message. Boy, I knew I was going there. The Holy Ghost was telling me, that's where you're going. But thank God that old man turned that message around. See, I always thought it was pretty good, but then when the Holy Ghost gets on you, you realize how far short you come. He turned it around and says, the way of the cross leads home. Boy, I went down a lost sinner, got up redeemed. Hey, it was a great day when Jesus passed by my way. Well, let me give you a fourth one here. Talking about great days. The greatest day in my life, Jesus passed by. But now, the greatest day for the redeemed, those of us who are already born again, the church, if you please, the greatest day for the redeemed will be when this same Jesus steps out on a cloud, has that trumpet to blow, and he cries out, come up hither. That'll be a great day when you and I are changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We're going to be caught up out of here. The rapture of the church, if you please. Some may say, well, you don't find the word rapture. No, but you find the teaching. We're going to be translated. We're going to be caught up. We're going to be moved out of here. However you want to say it, amen. Boy, I'm looking forward to that day when Jesus comes, when he calls his home. See, we've got some things turned around. We're looking for signs. But in reality, the signs were not given to the church. The signs in Matthew 24 and Luke 21, every one of those signs were given to Israel. The Jew requireth a sign. Amen. Where it talks about false Christs and earthquakes in diverse places. And by the way, I mean, they're occurring just right and left, earthquakes. Pestilences. They say the worst place you can go today is the hospital because of pestilences, strains of bacteria that they can't fight. Amen. All these things. But everyone, wars and rumors of wars, every one of those signs, signs in the sun, moon, and stars, they're to the nation of Israel. Amen. Now, you and I, we're observing some of these things. Even our president moving the capital of Israel to Jerusalem. Hey, the Jews know what it is. The Jews understand what it means. But you and I, if we were to look for signs, we ought to look to Paul's writings, to Timothy, where he says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. I do not know a more perilous day than what we're in right now. But see, we're not to look for signs. We're to be listening for sounds. We ought to be lifting up our heads, listening for sounds. Every day when you step out and it's not a cloudy, you know, real overcast day, just a few clouds, You ought to think, could this be the day? There's a great day coming. There's a great day coming. The old hymn says, how about this one? What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see and I look upon his face. Hey, it's going to be a great day when you and I are caught up out of here. Amen. Amen. Well, the greatest day for the redeemed. I'll give you a last thought. Talking about days, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe the greatest day for the Father is still yet ahead of us. God the Father loved his Son. Loves his Son. Amen. When Jesus submitted to be baptized by John the Baptist, the heavens opened, and God the Father spake from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." Well, I already went through how that Jesus, God gave his only Son, God gave his best so that we might be saved. But there's a great day ahead, and that day's recorded just as the birth of Christ. Every prophecy was fulfilled to the jot and tittle. Much of this book is still yet to be fulfilled. Much of it is yet future, talking about the kingdom to come. That's all the Jews were looking for, was the kingdom to come. On that day, this same Jesus, just as they watched him ascend there in Acts chapter 1, so shall he return in like manner. And when he comes, that mount's going to be split in two. He's going to walk in, and he's going to sit upon the throne of David, and he's going to rule for 1,000 years. Everybody's looking for peace on earth, goodwill toward men. It will not be till this day. You realize there we read in the scriptures in Zechariah 14. It says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh." It's about three times in that chapter. The day of the Lord cometh. It's going to be a great day when Jesus sits on the throne. It's going to be a great day for the Father. It'll be a great day for mankind. It'll be a great day for all of this planet Earth when Jesus rules and reigns for 1,000 years. Swords will be turned into plowshares, and I mean, there'll be peace on earth. It's going to be a great day for God the Father when he sees his Son sitting on the throne. Amen. Great days that you and I ought to be glad and rejoice. Winding down the invitation, what it ought to be. When was the last time you just thanked the Lord that he controls the days? When was the last time you just pondered the great days that he's put in your life? When was the last time you thanked him for the great days to come? If you're here and you've never been saved, you don't have much to look forward to unless you come. This could be a great day for you. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He's more willing for you to come than for you to come. It could be the greatest day in your life if you'd come today.